Amongst the many, many who were here to do that is the next performer, our Florida troubadour, Gamble Roger D'Augustine.
How is everybody today? I'd like to congratulate the sound company. This is the best sound we've ever had at a Florida Folk Festival, and I've been coming here for 20 years. Just a little more guitar mic, please. Easy there. See Deacon Jones when they rattles his bones. Oh, Parson Brown dancing round like a clown. Oh, that Jemima Bass, 83, shouting out full of pep. Watch your step, and one-legged Joe dancing round on his toe. He throws away his crutch and hollers, hey, let her go, honey, hail, hail, the gang's all here for that Alabama Jubilee. Play the bass now. Alabama Juba, Alabama Jubilee. You know, when I came out here this afternoon, I didn't really know what to expect. In fact, to tell you the truth, I really didn't feel too good. In fact, I felt so low, I could have sat on a cigarette paper and swung my legs. But you good people have brought me up again. I'm flying high. In fact, I ain't felt this good since the last time I saw Still Bill. Still Bill. Now there's a slow-moving son of a gun. That old boy moves so slow you had to line him up with a fence post to be sure he was in motion. Besides that, he was sorry. Well, sorry is or sorry does, I always say. But Bill was the essence of sorriness. A mathematician came through our town and said that Bill was the square root of sorriness. Yes, sir, every day was the same for Still Bill. A man of rigid discipline, he arose precisely at 4:15 in the afternoon. Took the same route downtown every day of his life, never let anything get in his way. He'd have walked right over a Sherman tank if it presented itself. One time he walked right through the middle of a 50-man shootout. Everybody laid down their weapons. Bill just cut right on through there. A northern journalist wrote this up as an act of extraordinary heroism. Of course, we all knew better. Bill owed money to every man in the gunfight. Sorry is as sorry does. I want to tell you, he was a man to strike a pose. He considered himself a rancher. He'd hang around downtown. He'd say, "Heidi, come on out and let me show you my spread." 2 acres. "Let me show you my herd," he'd say. 3 cows. But Bill considered himself a farmer all the way. He'd change his mind quite a bit. I remember one time he just went off on a tangent. He said, "The young people are right. The young people are where it's at. They got the right idea. It's back to the earth. We got to put in solar heating. We got to put in our own garden. We got to use organic fertilizer, get rid of the air conditioner, the TV set. We got to live in harmony with nature. In fact, I'm going to sell my tractors, and I'm going to go back to plowing with mules. I said, Bill, you know nothing about mules. Leave them alone. He said, come on, let's go buy some mules. Off we go in his pickup truck. We're going to get some mules. He said, we stopped at the first place he came to. Here are these two old boys sitting up on a porch. They knew a live one coming when they saw one. Hey, boys, I want to buy a mule. You got any mules? Mister, we ain't got no mules, but we got some mule eggs we'll give you. Hey, did you hear what he said? He's going to give us some mule eggs. They took us out in the field, and they gave us two of these big old watermelons. Look here. We got mule eggs. Come on, be careful with it. Put it in the truck there. Put a little bit of, don't let it roll it. I said, thank you, boys. Thank you. We're driving home. We got mule eggs. We got mule eggs. Put them in a cardboard box, incandescent bulb, incubate the little fellows. We hit a bump. One of them goes right off the back of the truck. Oh, look, he said, we done killed a little fella. We killed him. Come on, let's go back and clean him up. He backs around. He's turning around. This jackrabbit comes out of the bushes on the side of the road and starts eating the meat of that busted watermelon. Old Bill turns around. He says, look, it's alive. It's alive. Look at those ears. It's perfectly formed. It's a baby mule. Come on, let's get it. Let's raise it. We chase that rabbit 45 minutes through the woods. You know what that fool said when we were done? He said, let him go, leave him go anyhow. I don't want nothing on the place plows that fast anyhow. Sorry is as sorry does. I'm sure glad we got some country people out here today. Told a joke like that in New York City last Christmas and got nothing but a room full of blank stares. Well, don't look yonder coming down the railroad track. Oh, look yonder coming down the railroad track. That's the orange blossom special. I'm gonna bring my baby back. I'll bring her back now. Written by a North Carolinian named Irvin T. Rouse. Lives today in Florida's Everglades in a little mining community of Pinecrest, Florida. Yeah, not long ago, Irvin Rouse was nominated Poet Laureate of Monroe County. Last time I got up with him, he was pumping gas at a billup station in Hialeah. There ain't a whole lot of incentive being Poet Laureate anywhere in the state of Florida. Well, sir, he's written a lot of great songs. This is his most famous tune, Orange Blossom Special. Every fiddle player in the world has a rendition of this song. Let's see if we can get this old train out of White Springs, Florida, on one little guitar. Ain't no oil burner. Pulling away. falling. Blow that whistle now. Ring a bell. Train just went into a tunnel. A tunnel. In Florida. It went under a highway bridge. Well, I'm going down to Florida. I'll get some sand in my shoe. Oh, maybe California. I'll get some sand in my shoe. I ride the orange blossom special. And I'll lose these New York blues. Slow down now, train. First time that I ever went out to St. Augustine, which is now, I'm proud to say, my home, there was a woman who lived there named Doris Mowrey, M-O-W-R-E-Y. Doris made her own clothing of Irish linen and walked barefoot in the streets of St. Augustine with her hair and a long pigtail. And there was something about the way she moved and those narrow streets amidst the towering enchantments of the ancient city that suggested to the onlooker the fact that she held the key to the enchantment of the city itself. Many was the person who fell in beside her, walked with her, and disclosed the secrets and the mysteries of their hearts, to which she listened ardently. They always went away afterward more graceful, merely for having been listened to by this creature who spurned the pipe, who spurned the bottle, who loved the salt air and the sunlight, and who hated only cruelty. She who died at the hands of one of those with whom she walked, and who lies buried today in St. Augustine, where she is remembered by poems and elegies and eulogies, by statuary and paintings. For the ancient city is a place of artists and writers, as well as fools and fishermen. Excuse me, this is a heartfelt song, and I'd like to get it in tune for you. Somebody writes songs as laboriously as I do. Every song I write is a little bit like a graduate degree in life. Serious thing. And I don't want to be fretting about the guitar being out of tune. Doris. Doris wound the bishop's clock. She served him macaroons and tea. She bought him oysters at the dock. At night, she came to me. graceful as a Pharaoh's daughter, bringing life in sour ground. She brought me green to the Spanish water, showed me bridges out of town. And we often spoke of towers and of patriarchs and powers and of how the angels hurt. And where the haints and vandals turn, we'd listen to the candles burn. And we'd measure Irish linen for his shirt. I wonder still if love can win. And I work the earth and peel my brain, while Doris mounts the wave within my ocean dream. Her pain like bubbles on a dolphin's breath, as lanterns hiss and pirates kneel to murder one who danced with death before the years of wine and steel. And we often spoke of towers and of patriarchs and powers and of how the angels hurt. And where the haints and vandals turn, we'd listen to the candles burn. And we'd measure Irish linen for his shirt. Now the snow lies over hollow ground, and jewels glitter in the choir. Walls and mirrors crashing down. Tonight the poet drowns for hire. The soul believer drives a hack, and he whips his ponies to a sprain. And tongueless lovers bare their backs, and mad dogs guard artillery. Thank you. Is there a man amongst you? Is there a woman amongst you who can tell me the meaning of nostalgia? What is nostalgia? Rumble seats and running boards, clamshell fenders and bullet headlights. Is it the old motion pictures, Humphrey Bogart, Marlena Dietrich, Howard Duff, and Ida Lupino? The motion pictures. Somehow I think nostalgia has something to do with the motion pictures. We had two movie houses in my hometown. The Colony Theater at the south end of the street, where they showed the heavy psychedelic flicks like Fantasia. And at the other end of the street, the Baby Grand Theater, a dank, cavernous mow of a place decorated in Renaissance redneck. We'd sit in there of a Saturday matinee and scarf up on those Jujubes, Junior Mints, Milk Duds, Necco Wafer, Jordan Allman, Sugar Daddies, Sugar Daddies. Remember those little Sugar Daddies? And sticky things. Play a trick on your best buddy, Bogart your Sugar Daddy, and stick it in his ear. And there was always some little idiot in the audience. He'd sneak out into the lobby in the middle of the picture with a box of butter popcorn cleverly hidden under his shirt. Ease up to the water fountain, step on the switch, directing a clandestine crescent of clear water into the popcorn box, turning its contents into a soggy, glutinous, viscous, vegetable mass of oily corruption and putrescence. He would then sneak up into the balcony, and at precisely the heaviest part of the flicker, the patrons there below would be startled to hear from out of the Stygian blackness above the non-sonorous sounds of gastronomical distress. As our young pilgrim leaned far out over the parapet, broadcasting the popcorn in a slimy torrent over their heads and shoulders, all the while going, They'd scatter like quail down there. Nostalgia. What is nostalgia? Could it be? Could it be? 3:15, school's out. Jump on that trusty Schwinn bicycle with a spring-loaded front fork and pedal down to O'Brien's drugstore. Eyeball the prom queens trucking in and out. Trudy Buttram and Arlene Andress. Ah, Trudy, teenage princess, sovereign subject of 100 million fervid prepubescent ruminations and fantasies. Oh, Trudy, in your little Angora sweater, your black and white saddle Oxfords and the bobby socks with the wool balls dangling down from behind. And all those Maitland boys queued up at the curb in their skeeters. Now, don't you remember those skeeters? What did they call them up this way? Shorts? Hot rods? Take a 49 Ford and cut the body off. You got a radiator, an engine, a cowl, a seat bolted to the chassis, and a gas tank made out of a discarded beer keg. Pull up there to O'Brien's drugstore, rattle those flathead V8s, and eyeball them prom queens like a cool cosmic cowboy. You got a nickel-plated Caterpillar tractor watch fob dangling off the rearview mirror. You got a decal on the windshield say, "We plow deep while others sleep." Now, Bender Snodgrass, he was a Maitland boy in a hard case. He had the baddest skeeter there ever was. He called it the Immaculate Contraption. Now, he put a spark plug in the muffler pipe of his skeeter, attached the spark plug to a T-model coil, and the T-model coil to a toggle switch on the dashboard. Now, one day, Trudy Buttram went trucking out behind the Immaculate Contraption. Old Bender centered her in a rearview mirror, revved up his big engine, flicked the toggle switch, which caused the spark plug to go to sparking way back yonder in the tailpipe. He deftly flicked off the ignition key, cunningly flicked it on again, which caused a pint and a half of unburned Amoco white gasoline to course through the exhaust system right by the spark plug. It burned all Angora off Trudy's sweater. Burn the balls off her socks. Nostalgia. What is nostalgia? Do you remember? Do you remember sitting in Miss Beck's sixth grade classroom? Everybody say, "Hey, when you get to high school next year, don't get Miss Eulalia Singletary for a teacher. She's a witch." My first day of high school, in walked my new homeroom teacher, Eulalia Singletary, 6.5 feet tall. She loomed above us like a myopic praying mantis. Blue rinse in her white hair, chalk white skin, bloodless lips, little eyeballs like pin light shining through a Missouri road map. She wore those Dr. Scholl's lace-up pedicure pumps and silk print dresses from which trailed clouds of lilac water and talcum powder. And though she was the butt of many a coarse and callow juvenile joke, what dreams of love and altruism pulsed in that withered breast. Miss Eulalia Singletary. Soon those Maitland boys posed a moment of truth. They smuggled a 38-inch scarlet kingsnake into Miss Eulalia's desk drawer. There are those amongst you this evening, knowledgeable in the field of serpentology, who will verify the fact that a scarlet king snake is virtually identical to a coral snake, the only fatally poisonous reptile on the North American continent, save for its color markings. Both snakes are banded in the colors black, yellow, and red, but the sequence of these colors varies according to the species. If you're knowledgeable in this, you'll recognize a scarlet king snake as a friend to man. On the other hand, you go messing with a coral snake, one more white shirt will do you. Miss Eulalia Singletary came levitating into the classroom and led the class in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag and the Lord's Prayer and various other examples of theological and nationalistic errata which have since been deemed superfluous by the 9 old men. She then made the announcements of the day. These she generally inscribed with chalk upon the blackboard, but this day there was no chalk upon the rim of the blackboard, the Maitland boys having removed same, which would force the teacher into the drawer wherein awaited the serpent. She began. She said, "Boys and girls, your principal asks that I remind you that band practice will occur on the playing field today, as it's such a sunny day. He also asks that I remind you, once again, you rapscallions have purloined my chalk." She slid open the drawer, reached downward, froze, polished off her spectacles, and continued, "He asked that I remind you once again that those of us who reside in the tropic zones should at all times be aware of the difference between the dread coral snake and his harmless and colorful cousin, the scarlet king snake." She wrested the wriggling serpent from out of the drawer, held it aloft, looked right at Bender Snodgrass, and said, "Red on black, friend of Jack. Red on yellow, kill a fellow. Black on head, you're dead." Drop the snake in the wastebasket, shut the drawer, and dismiss the class. All those Maitland boys were out there doing shaloms. And from that time on, whenever anyone had the temerity to put down Miss Eulalia Singletary, or the ill grace to refer to her as a witch, Bender Snodgrass and the Maitland boys had stomped the sand out of them. I'd like to dedicate this last song to my favorite high school teacher, whose name I have changed to Protect the Guilty. A fitting song for a beautiful Sunday like this at White Springs. A song written by John Stewart of California, an American poet. I read a story just the other day in the San Francisco Chronicle, which of course I forgot to save. And it was about a lady who lived in the good old days, back when a century died and a century was raised. And about those good old days, the lady smiled and said, "It was just a lot of people doing the best they could. Just a lot of people doing the best they could," she said. And as I recollect, the lady smiled and said that they'd done it pretty up and walking good. And whatever happened to the faces in those old photographs? I mean the young boys, boys, why, they were men who stood knee-deep in the Johnstown mud in the heart of that terrible flood, and they listened to the waters. That awful noise. And then they gave away the dreams that belong to little boys. And the sun is going down for Mr. Bowie as he's singing with his class of 19 and 2. Mother Country, I do love you. Oh, Mother Country, I do love you. Now, I knew a man named E.A. Stewart. That's S-T-U-A-R-T. And he owned some of the finest horses I believe I've ever seen. But he had one favorite to champion, the old campaigner. And he called her Sweetheart on Parade. Friend, she was easily the finest horse that the good Lord ever made. But you know, old E.A. Stewart was going blind. He said, "I would like to race her just one more time." So the people came from miles away and they stood around the ring and no one said a word. No one said a thing. Then here they come. It's E.A. Stewart in the wagon right behind, and he's sitting straight and proud and he's driving her stone blind. And would you look at her? She'd never look better nor run finer than today. It's E.A. Stewart and the old campaigner. Sweetheart on parade. And the people cheer. Why, I even saw a grown man break right down and cry. And don't you know, it was just a little bit after that old E.A. Stewart died. And the sun is going down on Mr. Bowie as he's singing with his class of 19 and 2. Oh, Mother Country, I do love you. Oh, Mother Country, I do love you.
Well, he'll be back tonight and tomorrow, so that's great. We've been just entranced with an international dance group here for the first time. Let's welcome to the stage from Tallahassee this beautiful folk dance ensemble, Drava.
Musical saw, it's a little bit different. I don't play some fast music, but I'm going to try to play ones that Gamble Rogers was talking about, nostalgia. The first one is I'm Forever Blowing Bubbles. Next one is Smiles. Everybody sing it while I play. They're smiling. sure some of you folks have not heard this story, although I've been telling it up here at the Folk Festival for a good many years. You wonder how I got started in playing a musical song. When I was a sophomore in college at the university in the summertime, I didn't have much to do. My father lived in Lynn Haven, Florida, and I saw an advertisement in the magazine about a musical saw and 12 lessons for $15. So I sent for the saw. At first, they gave me a mallet. I tapped on the saw like this. Had a felt mallet. Then about the sixth lesson, they sent me a bow. This is an ordinary violin bow, and a cheap one at that. Doesn't take much. And I had to play so that someone else could recognize the tune. From then on, I've been playing since 1928. I went on WRUF as a musical carpenter for several months during the summertime. My last number is Till We Meet Again.
Speaking of 1928, the first weekend in May, I had the pleasure of going up, flying up to Boston for the weekend to attend my 50th class reunion from Emerson College, the class of 1928. And oh, we had such a good time. We scarcely recognized each other, however, because we hadn't been together in a long, long time. We love to have John Johnson and Pat Whitman with us. Pat lives in St. Augustine, and Johnny lives in Gainesville, and I don't know how in the world they get together to practice because they are both busy people working hard. But they do because they love to research and sing Civil War songs. Here come John and Pat.
I want to tell you folks something. We've had all afternoon to kind of roam around. We haven't had to sit in one spot, but I've got to hand it to you. Every one of you who's here right now has been here for the whole afternoon, and I've got to give you a great big vote of thanks for sticking it out. We've had some very good musicians here, but we've had a fantastic audience, and we really appreciate you being here.
It's very hot out there.
God, is it hot out there.
I was going to wear my coat out, but it is too hot.
I figured it wouldn't be any fun if he dropped on the stage.
Yeah. Don't I look just like Little House on the Prairie? It's incredible.
Okay, this is more Civil War music for you. This is from the other side. One beautiful segment of music that's become a permanent part of American music today that came out of the Civil War was the spiritual. And so this is a mini medley, two of them, that were important out of that era that I'm sure you're familiar with.
When Israel
In Egypt's land, let my people go. Oppressed so hard they could not stand, let my people go. Go down, Moses, way down in Egypt's land. Tell old Pharaoh, let my people thus saith the Lord, bold Moses said, let my people go, or else I'll smite your firstborn dead. Let my people go. Go down, Moses, let us all in Christ be free. Let my people go. Go down, Moses, way down in Egypt's land. Tell
good news. Chariots are coming, and I don't want to be left behind. Good news. Chariots are coming, good news. Chariots are coming, good news. Chariots are coming, and I don't want to be left
behind. Songs in the Civil War era were popular on both sides, and they tended toward being extremely sticky and sentimental. What today we would look at and say, oh, brother, sort of teen angel type of things. It abates me right there.
Yeah, only they were a lot more serious about it.
They were very, very serious about it, and the songs of the day were a way of communicating things. This was when sheet music was first starting to be used. Publishers were actually publishing music, songs written as songs, words and music, rather than a poem set to music, or taking a particular tune and writing, taking something that had already been written, melding the two together and fudging around to make them work. This next song was probably the sentimental favorite on both sides. It's called Lorena.
And in the hopes that it'll turn out to be a favorite of yours, we're not going to sing all the verses. You probably have to bring your supper if we went
through
all
of it. We'll be here most of the afternoon. It goes
right.
On and on and on and on.
You'll get the idea from these two. It's a beautiful melody. It really is.
The years creep slowly by, Lorena. The snow is on the grass again. The sun's low down the sky, Lorena. The frost gleams where the flowers have been. But the heart beats on as warmly now as first when summer days were nigh. Oh, the sun will never dip so low. Ah, down affection's cloudless sky, it matters little now, Lorena. The past is in the eternal past. Our heads will soon lie low, Lorena. Life's tide is ebbing out so fast. There is a future, oh, thank God, of life. This is so small a part. Oh, 'tis dust to dust beneath the sod. But there, up there, 'tis hard to
hide. Thank you. The soldiers, however, had a way of poking holes in things, and sometimes the songs got a little bit too much for them. As in, there were several that had some pretty good parodies, which unfortunately are not suitable for this time and place.
Okay, if you meet us in a bar one night, we'll sing them for you.
But the one that we're going to do now was taken from, what is the?
Just Before the Battle Mother.
Yeah, right. Just Before the Battle Mother. Because the version that we do is called simply Farewell Mother.
Right. This is a soldier's own parody, so don't blame us.
Just before the Battle Mother, I was drinking Mountain Dew when I saw the rebels marching to the rear. I quickly flew where the stragglers were flying. Not the rebs we feared, dear mother, but our own dear presence. sounding mother. My soul is eager for the fray. I guess I'll hide behind some cover.